Paper 134, Section 3. The Urmia Lectures. On the way to the Caspian Sea, Jesus had stopped several days for rest and recuperation at the old Persian city of Urmia, on the western shores of Lake Urmia. On the largest of a group of islands situated a short distance offshore near Urmia was located a large building, a lecture amphitheater, dedicated to the spirit of religion. This structure was really a temple of the philosophy of religions. This temple of religion had been built by a wealthy merchant citizen of Urmia and his three sons. This man was Simboitan, and he numbered among his ancestors many diverse peoples. The lectures and discussions in this school of religion began at 10 o'clock every morning in the week. The afternoon session started at 3 o'clock, and the evening debates opened at 8 o'clock. Simboitan or one of his three sons always presided at these sessions of teaching, discussion, and debate. The founder of this unique school of religions lived and died without ever revealing his personal religious beliefs. On several occasions Jesus participated in these discussions, and before he left Urmia, Simboitan arranged with Jesus to sojourn with them for 2 weeks on his return trip and give 24 lectures on the brotherhood of men, and to conduct 12 evening sessions of questions, discussions, and debates on his lectures in particular, and on the brotherhood of men in general. In accordance with this arrangement, Jesus stopped off on the return trip and delivered these lectures. This was the most systematic and formal of all the Master's teaching on Urantia. Never before or after did he say so much on one subject as was contained in these lectures and discussions on the brotherhood of men. In reality, these lectures were on the kingdom of God and the kingdoms of men. More than 30 religions and religious cults were represented on the faculty of this temple of religious philosophy. These teachers were chosen, supported, and fully accredited by their respective religious groups. At this time there were about 75 teachers on the faculty, and they lived in cottages each accommodating about a dozen persons. Every new moon these groups were changed by the casting of lots. Intolerance, a contentious spirit, or any other disposition to interfere with the smooth running of the community would bring about the prompt and summary dismissal of the offending teacher. He would be unceremoniously dismissed, and his alternate in waiting would be immediately installed in his place. These teachers of the various religions made a great effort to show how similar their religions were in regard to the fundamental things of this life and the next. There was but one doctrine which had to be accepted in order to gain a seat on this faculty. Every teacher must represent a religion which recognized God, some sort of supreme deity. There were 5 independent teachers on the faculty who did not represent any organized religion, and it was as such an independent teacher that Jesus appeared before them. When we, the midwayers, first prepared the summary of Jesus' teachings at Urmia, there arose a disagreement between the seraphim of the churches and the seraphim of progress as to the wisdom of including these teachings in the Urantia revelation. Conditions of the 20th century, prevailing in both religion and human governments, are so different from those prevailing in Jesus' day that it was indeed difficult to adapt the Master's teachings at Urmia to the problems of the kingdom of God and the kingdoms of men, as these world functions are existent in the 20th century. We were never able to formulate a statement of the Master's teachings which was acceptable to both groups of the seraphim of planetary government. Finally, the Melchizedek chairman of the Revelatory Commission appointed a commission of 3 of our number to prepare our view of the Master's Urmia teachings as adapted to 20th century religious and political conditions on Urantia. Accordingly, we 3 secondary midwayers completed such an adaptation of Jesus' teachings, restating his pronouncements as we would apply them to present-day world conditions, and we now present these statements as they stand after having been edited by the Melchizedek chairman of the Revelatory Commission.